I'd like to thank Edward for leading all the songs he led. Did a nice job of choosing the songs, and even with very little information I gave him, he chose wisely and very, very, very well. One of the songs he chose was Our God, He is Alive. In our hymn books, it's number 9. A little bit of history, and this will follow along with a lesson. And that is that in 1966, a premier magazine came out stating that God is dead and that evolution would now rule, and proceeded almost the whole edition of that premier magazine in 1966 touted evolution as the next God. And Dicus proceeded to write this song, Our God, He is Alive, in response to that magazine article or edition. Along with that, fits right along with the lesson. And our lesson is, Jesus is, I am. I know we've been studying John in our Sunday morning class, and this also fits right along with that class too. But with Dicus, he also recognized that Jesus needed to have somebody, not because he needed it, but he's commanded it, that we are to stand up for him. And Jesus has been so maligned and so dismissed by so many groups and so many people. Many religions cast Jesus out as not a deity at all. Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus is the first creation of God and not God. Muslims see Jesus as nothing more than a significant prophet. Matter of fact, if you were to talk to a devout Muslim, they'll even say that a good Christian would be a Muslim. Because if you're a true Christian, you will understand the low status of Jesus and follow Allah. The Jews see Jesus as a myth. As we also discussed in our Sunday morning class, it was at the time of Jesus that the rabbis and the people that were of known and scholars were looking for Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, because it fit the time frame. Now, Jews want to just simply say, oh, he's a myth. Especially those who are ungodly. That would include, oh, that magazine who promoted atheism, evolution, humanism, agnosticism, and anybody else who wants to dismiss God so they do not have any accountability of themselves, want to deny Christ as God. It's interesting how some people view Christ also as just a big old brother who's a nice family member that we can just get along with, and he loves us and we love him and everything's just fine. Is that really how the scriptures portray Jesus? I'd suggest to you that far from it. Probably the best analysis of Jesus and his standing as deity is the book of John. We do find other scriptures, but John is a premier book that helps us understand Jesus' status. Jesus, the very first part of John, chapter 1, it refers to Jesus as the Word. The Word was God in John, chapter 1, verse 1. Starting in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version for the most of the lesson. However, later on in the lesson, I'll be referring to as many different versions as possible for a particular passage. But John 1, chapter 1. Chapter, verse 1, that is, I apologize. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Stop right there. How does Jehovah's Witness respond to that one? They don't like that. They refer to something, their own version of a Bible, if I'm not mistaken. He was in the beginning and with God, verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Look at verse 10 through 14. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see here Jesus is not just a big brother. We see Jesus is not just a prophet or a good man. We see him as God. And as such, we need to understand what God is. No, it's not a statue in a Catholic church building. It's not a rock outside. It's not an eagle that's flying over. It's not any other thing that you can consider a God by any other polytheistic or any other religion. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. All three of those required to create or is our God. Omnipresent means all present, everywhere, all at one time. Omniscient means all knowing of all things at all times. Omnipotent, omnipotent, whichever way you'd like to say it. It's all power. Nothing they cannot do. First, Jesus is omnipresence. All present. Everywhere. We see that in John chapter 1, verse 45 through 49. Here, we're talking about Jesus and his apostles, or at that time, disciples, that Jesus is starting to gather his apostles or disciples at that time together. And to a regular person, you might think it was haphazard. Until you really truly understand and read and study, then you understand this was not haphazardly. Chapter 1 of John, verses 45 through 49. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Have you ever met somebody you've never met before, and you knew right where they came from and who they spoke to? How is that possible? Unless you're omniscient. I'm omnipresent. I'm going to have to get those three are going to have fun with me. Jesus is everywhere. Continuing on. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." To know somebody's character, as well as to know that person, where they were and who they spoke to, and you have never seen them before prior, that means you are also all-knowing and all-present. knowing someone's character is even a deeper understanding than just seeing them. Jesus saw the event where he was not presently physically. Nathanael realized the full significance of Jesus' statement and his abilities. This was later demonstrated in Lazarus' death in John chapter 11, verses 3 through 15. John chapter 11, we'll start at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick in Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Stop right there. That doesn't make sense, does it? If we're a human, you hear somebody's not doing well, what do you normally, what should a normal person who loves somebody do? Get up and go try to attend to them. See what we can do to help or aid them. Not sit back and say, I think I'll stay here 2 more days. But as we already saw, Jesus Christ has a plan and the reason for doing this. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not with him. The night is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better, or he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. There were no cell phones back then. How did he know Lazarus was dead? How did he know to wait 2 more days? That's not human. That's God. Verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Could Jesus have raised him from the dead from where he stood? Yes. But why is he doing this, going to him now? It wasn't for Jesus' benefit. The benefit of those and us, so that we can see and understand Jesus was the reason for Lazarus' resurrection. Jesus was and is all-knowing, omniscient, as we already noted here in the scripture. Jesus knew the hearts of men. John chapter 2, verse 24. John chapter 2, verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of men or man, for he knew what was in man. I don't know about you, but I do not know what you're thinking. With the exception of the outside facial expressions and body language, I would just have to just guess and have a shot in the dark. But Jesus did not. Jesus knew every person's intent in their heart. Also, in John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. John chapter 4, 16 through 18. He also claimed with omniscience, all-knowing. Jesus knew the past of people. He not only met them physically in John chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." Later in that passage, John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Well, we were talking in class how Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Here, this woman is bringing the town to Jesus. Jesus also healed without being present, just like we were discussing a few moments ago in John chapter 4, verses 47 through 53. John chapter 4, verses 47 through 53. It's not only healing done, but Jesus knew the results without being present. Another sign is having to have all knowledge and all presence. John chapter 4, verse 45. Because of time, I'm going to drop down to verse 47. Verse 47. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. Jesus didn't have to be there to make the miracle or have a miracle. He's all present, all knowing, and all powerful. Jesus' claim to be equal to God is in John chapter 5, verse 17, verse 23. And we saw this early in the chapter, in the book, rather, that the Jews knew very well what Jesus was claiming. And they didn't like it. They felt it to be quite blasphemous. That might have been blasphemous, except for Jesus had all the miracles and all the signs. But they didn't see that, or they rather chose not to observe that. Chapter 5 of John, John chapter 5, verse 17 through 23. But Jesus answered him, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he did not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Jesus is God. We need to understand that Jesus is not just a big brother. Another aspect we have been talking about is Christ's omnipotence, his all power. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Can you imagine a being holding everything together? Because of time, I'm going to have us drop down, and the context starts at verse 12. But let's drop down to verses 15 through 17. It states, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that all in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Can you imagine if Christ were not to be Christ, this universe would not be in existence. The power of Jesus, consider chapter 6. For brevity of time, consider the chapter 6, how Jesus demonstrates His power over creation by feeding 5,000 men and the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and still have 12 baskets left over. He also walked on water during a storm, chapter 6. He took the boat from point A to point B with no time in between. In chapter 11, He raises Lazarus from the dead in John 11. This is a claim of omnipotence, all power. He claimed to have come from heaven in John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. We also see in, again, John chapter 6, verse 41 and 42. The Jews then complained about Him because He said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, I have come down from heaven? Also dropping down to verse 46 through 51 of chapter 6. Not that anyone has seen the Father except He who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus gave Himself. A similar claim caused the Jews to attempt to kill Him in chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 28 and 30. John chapter 7, verses 28 through 30. Then Jesus cried out as He taught in the temple, saying, You both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come from myself, but He who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know Him, for I am from Him, and He sent me. Therefore they sought to take Him, but no one laid a hand on Him, because His hour had not yet come. Jesus claimed to be the I Am. Now this is why, in doing some study, was interesting to me. Let's please go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And as Dykus in his song said, the great I am. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. I know this is almost sounding like our class this morning, but let's review. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. God is referred to as I am, which happens to be the shortest sentence in the English language, just as a side note. Christ also said, I am. John chapter 8, verse 23 and 24. John chapter 8, verses 23 through 24. Notice that the he, I really want you to notice this. The he in this scripture was added by the translators. I'll explain why I say that. John chapter 8, verse 23 through 24. And he said, this is the New King James Version. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. Verse 24. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, and it has in there he, you will die in your sins. Let's review different versions of the Bible in this particular verse. In the New King James Version, it does have in brackets or italicized the word he. That's introduced by the translators. Go to the New American Standard Version, again introduced by translators. King James Version, again introduced by translators. Modern King James Version, again. This one doesn't even put it in there. It says, I am. Modern King James Version. The American Standard Version, of which Aaron was here for the New American coming up. But the, or I think I just said that when I apologize. I surely did. But the American Standard Version also puts he as an introduction or introduced by translators. Young's literal translation also has in parentheses introduced he. The only version that I found that had he not being stated as introduced was the Revised Standard Version. All other versions either omitted he or acknowledged that he was introduced by the translators. Jesus is not saying, I am he. Jesus is saying, I am. He acknowledges that he is God. Jews understood this, and because of time, I will simply refer to John chapter 8, verses 50 through 59. The Jews understood this, and they wanted to murder Jesus for this. After Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, they believe that he is I am. Jesus tells his future, the future events. In John chapter 13, 18 through 21, again, because of time, I will refer to it as a reference. Also in John chapter 18, verses 3 through 8, explains that when Jesus was arrested, he... Did you realize this one? I will read to you. Because for me, it's one of those things that I hadn't really noticed. It is right by me. But I would like to read John chapter 18, verses 3 through 8. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops, and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? Isn't that interesting how Christ always knew the answer, but asked the questions? Verse 5. They answered him, saying, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to him, I'm going to omit what the translators put in there. Jesus said to them, verse 5, I am. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Look at verse 6. Now when he said to them, I am, They drew back and fell to the ground. That's what, right past me. What kind of power does Jesus have so when somebody says, here's I am, they fall to the ground? Verse 7, then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus Nazareth. He said, I have told you that I am. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. Talking about the apostles. Then the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, of these whom you gave me, I have lost none. That went right by me. That those who did not believe fell. Just hearing him say, I am. Truly, Jesus was the fullness of deity in bodily form. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Colossians chapter 2, 4 through 10. Again, now this is just so true. 1966, God is dead. In that news, that magazine issue. Verse 4, Colossians 2. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Isn't that what magazines do? They try to persuade you in some way. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Listen to this part. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and power. And lastly, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was not a big brother. Jesus was not a good man. He was not a prophet only. God was God. Prophet is a man that's been told to do things. That's a prophet. Rather, Jesus was and is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, all present, all knowing, all powerful. Jesus was and is God. Not obeying Christ is equal to not obeying God. How do you stand with Jesus Christ, our Lord? If you have a need, please come forward as we stand and sing.
What will you do with Jesus? A question comes to you, and you must give an answer for something you must do. What shall it be? What shall it be? What will you do?
be back here again at 2 o'clock for afternoon service. This time, if you'd bow with me, I'll lead us in closing prayer. Dear Almighty Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, thanking you for this time that we have had to come together and worship you with fellow Christians. We pray that we all may be leaving here edified and encouraged by one another's presence together and worshiping you, joining our hearts and lips together in praise to you in song, and hearing a portion of your word brought to us. We pray that we may take the things that we have said, sung, and heard today to our hearts, that we can apply them into our everyday lives, that we can seek to be better Christians each and every day, that we can strive to be more like your Son who came to this earth to show that a obedient life could be led in your eyes, that we can have a model for how we should live our lives, how we should treat you, how we should treat our fellow man, that we may all have compassion for one another, for those that are lost, that we may be able to reach them, to show them the error of their ways, and to show that there is a better way in serving you and being obedient to you and your cause. We pray for those that are unable to be here with us this morning, for those that have health issues, as Galen, we pray that you be with him, and that he may have a full recovery, that he can continue on in service to you for many years. We pray for Diana as she continues to recover. We thank you for the recovery that she has had so far, and pray that she may, that her surgery may be successful, and that she may gain the mobility that she was seeking, and that she may continue to have a long life in service to you and dedicate her life to you. We pray for those outside of the congregation that need our prayers. We pray for Sue Forrest as she continues to recover from her fall. We pray that you be with her, and we pray that you be with Dale as she recovers. We pray for the rest of the Forrest family as well, that they can help Dale and Sue recover, and that they can seek peace through your word. We pray that we can always keep you in the front of our hearts, that we can stay focused on you at all times, and that we can always be looking for opportunities to help spread your word, that we can help bring other souls into your salvation. And this we pray in your Son's most holy name. Amen.
Sure.